There's a school in Queensland with dozens of teaching staff on site, except there are often no students in this school. The classrooms are empty. That's because this school is located inside Townsville's Cleveland Youth Detention Centre, and its students, some as young as 13, are being held in solitary confinement for hours on end. Speaking about this issue is Genevieve Sinclair, Chief Executive Officer of the Cairns-based youth organisation Youth Empowered Towards Independence. Genevieve, welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
Genevieve, what are you hearing from these detainees and their families? I mean, just how long are some of these children being held in solitary confinement?
Look, we visit Cleveland Youth Detention Centre weekly and work extensively with young people exiting from detention. Young people are talking about varied lengths of stay in what they call night mode or solitary confinement in constant cell occupation, anything between 20. We've had cases of up to 40 days, varying in hours, but often for up to 23 hours, sometimes 24 hours at a time. Certainly no sorts of durations of time that adult prisoners would probably ever experience.
In the past 12 months, you've had meetings with the police and youth ministers, including department heads. What are they telling you about this? Is there a reason why so many of these children are in solitary confinement?
Look, our understanding is, and I've been raising it, I think, probably for over 2 years now, with both with heads of department and with ministers directly in meetings. Look, the general rationale is that there are considerable staffing issues within the detention setting in Townsville, and there's not enough staff in order to accompany children and young people to attend their classes. I guess the problem is that it's been going on for such a protracted period that we've now got young people who may have entered the detention system at 12 or 13 who've been without access to schooling for some years, which we're really concerned around, means that it's very difficult for those young people to integrate back into the community. And whilst they're in detention in such conditions, it's obviously very traumatising and making young people very angry.
So it's kids as young as 12 and 13 that are being kept in solitary confinement?
Yeah, well, that's our understanding from some of the recent court rulings that have come out.
Wow. I know that you warned the Queensland government a year or so ago that the detention centre was on the verge of becoming, and I'll quote, like Guantanamo. Is that a comment that you stand by today?
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually a comment made. We had staff visiting the detention centre, and one of those staff had recently worked up on one of the detention settings on Thursday Island for illegal Indonesian fishermen coming through, and he said the conditions there were worse, and he said it was like Guantanamo, which I used that expression to ministers, somewhat ironically hoping that it would kind of hit the point that the use of solitary confinement for such protracted periods with such young children can only cause harm.
These children that we're speaking about are school-aged, obviously. The Guardian newspaper is reporting that the school inside this centre, though, is virtually empty. I mean, why is that? We know that we've lived through a period of a pandemic, etc., but can you take us through the reasons for that?
My understanding from conversations I've had is it just simply comes down to staffing. Is that some young people are for some reasons required to be escorted singly or have double escorts, and they need to be escorted to a classroom. And if there are not enough staff to escort children to that classroom, then there is no access to school. And so young people we've spoken to in here very recently report that their only access to education in months and months and months is a kind of a slip of paper under their doors to do some schoolwork. And I guess I struggle with why there's been no kind of workarounds such as, use of information technology or other approaches where teachers can come into units to set up classroom environments.
Youth crime laws introduced earlier this year make breach of bail an offence now for children. We asked the Attorney General last month if this meant more children were being put away in prison. This is what Yvette Darth had to say.
No, because those laws specifically were looking at serious repetitive offenders to try to break that cycle. So those laws were very targeted to those areas and those offenders where we continually see not only them reoffending, but an escalation in their offending.
So, Genevieve, do the children being held at Cleveland fit this profile?
Look, we raised concerns probably 18 months ago when the presumption against bail changes were made to the Youth Justice Act. Numbers of stakeholders raised concerns that it would increase the numbers of young people within adult watch houses and within the detention system. And we know that putting kids in the detention system is expensive, it doesn't work. In fact, you know, kind of works against all the evidence that it will make our communities less safe. There are young people being charged on breach of bail offences. These changes to the law will have the natural consequence of increasing pressures again on watch houses and detention systems, which are already in a state of not coping as it is or as it was even 12 months ago.
If you've just tuned in, Genevieve Sinclair, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Cairns-based youth organisation Youth Empowered Towards Independence, is talking about children being put into solitary confinement for hours on end and missing out on school at Townsville's Cleveland Youth Detention Centre here on RN Drive. Genevieve, can we explore a little bit more about what this does to a child's chances of rehabilitation?
Detaining children for protracted periods in cells is obviously not a therapeutic environment. Children should have rights to education programs, to treatment programs, to rehabilitative supports whilst they're in detention. Young people who experience those sorts of conditions come out much more angry than they were before and come out openly speaking about feeling hurt and wanting to hurt others. Now, I guess this is our biggest concern, really, is what we want is approaches to dealing with youth crime, which we know impacts terribly on the community. We know our communities up here feel unsafe, and we know that families and communities are really traumatised by young people stealing motor vehicles and breaking and entering. But what we also know is that if we police in the way that we are and we incarcerate in the way we are in conditions that are not therapeutic, we actually make the problem worse. Mm. We make the community less safe. And it will take us some time to kind of collectively heal from that experience that's occurred. Mm. I guess what we're really asking for is government just to follow the evidence around what works like they would in any other space.
We know that Indigenous adults and children are overrepresented in the justice system. Just how many of the children at this detention centre would be Indigenous?
I think recently we're talking about 90 to 95% of young people within Cleveland Youth Detention Centre, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people. And I think when we look at that, like, we really need to consider our, you know, our human rights obligations, our commitments to things like treaty and closing the gap, that those acts and those processes have been developed and established for some really clear reasons. Mm. And to breach them in the sorts of ways that are occurring at the moment, I think is very sad for our country.
Mm. Genevieve, as far as I'm aware, your organisation isn't one that generally talks to the media. Why have you decided to speak today?
Oh, look, I think we're probably at a bit of wit's end. We're not an organisation that talks to the media. We deliver services, and that's what's really important to us, is delivering high-quality trauma-informed services to the young people we work with. But when we've raised these issues with the departments, with senior bureaucrats, with director generals, with ministers, and repetitively, our concerns as to what's occurring in those centres, in particularly in terms of the use of solitary confinement, and are getting nowhere, we're left with very few options and no other recourse than to try and speak publicly and raise awareness around what's going on.
Well, thank you very much for your time and your thoughts on this today, Genevieve.
Thank you.
Genevieve Sinclair, the Chief Executive Officer of Youth Empowered Towards Independence on RN Drive. We've also contacted the Queensland Attorney General, Police and Youth Minister's offices. They've all declined an interview.